Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified. We got a great show for you today. We're going to talk about taxes, and more taxes. And thank goodness we're going to have less taxes to pay. Hallelujah. In studio with me is Kevin Stege with the Baker Postal CPA Firm.
Good morning, Chuck.
Am I pumped or what?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Well, listen, most of my clients pay a fair amount of income tax. And it's kind of nice to say to 84% of the people in America will get a tax reduction. Now, I got to tell you, with all the fake news out there and all the crap that's going on, what these guys are saying, and I just wish once one of you reporters out there on the radio or on TV would actually ask the congressmen from the Democratic Party who are spouting off against this tax, if you're so upset, why didn't you vote and go in there and change it? They had committee meetings for the last 8 months. And every committee in Congress has Democrats and Republicans. They had an opportunity to speak up. They chose to try to stonewall. And when you stonewall, you got nobody to blame but yourself. Look in the mirror. What did you do? You did nothing. Nothing. So if you did nothing, you are to blame if you're not happy. However, as for me and most of my clients who pay taxes, we are happy because we're going to get a tax reduction. And here's the fact. If you're an average family of four making $73,000 or less in America, you will have a minimum of a $2,000 tax break. Now, here's what my recommendation is. People may like this or not. I think you got two choices with that extra $2,000 you get a year. Number one, you can reduce your debt. Number two, take that money and put it in an investment retirement plan. Put some money away, because I'll tell you what, this bill is good for 8 years. But after that, if the other party's in office, you may not get to keep it. So put it away for a rainy day. What do you think, Kevin?
That's a good start.
Yeah.
Yep.
And listen, we're going to, if you've got a question or you want to talk about the new tax bill, pick up the phone, give us a call. We're toll free, 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. And local is 503-417-9595. 503-417-9595. And I could tell you, I got highlights here. And I've been on several interviews on radio stations this week. And I've probably talked more about taxes this week than I have in the last year. But, you know, Kevin, I got to tell you, there is so much misinformation being said, and nobody calls these people on it. And here's what I'd say to all of our listeners out there. Wait till next year. Wait till next year. And when you start seeing that if you're a retired couple, this has got to be, I went on the AARP website, and oh my God, you would think this is Armageddon, that actually, seniors are going to get to keep more of their money Because you know what? You're stupid. You're supposed to do what the Gestapo tells you to do. And if you go against the Gestapo, you are really in trouble. But the reality is, most seniors on a fixed income are going to get a break. And I heard one of the congressmen say about the health care reductions, it actually got increased. So it's actually going to benefit seniors who have medical problems are actually going to have a bigger break. Now, Kevin, there's so much misconfusion going on. But, the reality is that the average person is going to get a tax break.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, we've run a number of scenarios for our clients. The states that are going to get hit the hardest are obviously the states that have high state income taxes, and that's been talked about to a fairly well. And so your Californias, your Oregons, New Yorks, you know, Oregon has the second highest income tax rate out there. And so wealthy folks in those states are going to be losing a fairly significant deduction. However, most of those folks were subject to the alternative minimum tax anyway. You know, we're not talking people making $100,000 to $200,000 and stuff. We're talking the wealthy, people that are making $500,000, $800,000, $1 million a year. And, you know, we've got some clients like that. And those folks are subject to the alternative minimum tax anyway. So state income tax deductions didn't even help them to begin with. And the alternative minimum tax, the standard deduction under the AMT way of taxing things went up $28,000, something around there. So there shouldn't be a lot of tears in terms of some folks, you know, paying more.
When does the AMT kick in?
Well, it all depends on your deductions and your income, and so there's no real set threshold when it kicks in. But generally, once somebody's making over six figures and they have significant deductions, then you start looking at AMT. Usually, you got to get around 150 or more, but it depends if you're married and have kids and all that stuff. So,
but it used to affect at a lot lower rate.
Say again?
I said it before, it affected at a lot lower rate.
Right, exactly. The standard deduction has gone up with this new change, so that's a pretty good thing. I've run a number of scenarios on folks, and you know, even in Oregon, we're seeing pretty good tax cuts for people. And here's my take on this, Chuck, is people forget. What's happening right now is on the heels of the greatest tax hike that our country has ever seen from Obamacare and Obama legislation. You do not realize how much taxes have gone up on people making $100,000 or more, to the tunes of multiple percents. I mean, it was a huge tax hike. This doesn't even get all of that back. So there's no tears here. If you're a communist, if you're a socialist, then you're going to be crying your eyes out. Yeah, because you want the state and the government to basically rule your life and have all your money and control your freedom, basically. And if that's your perspective, boo-hoo, I guess. But
well, you know, Kevin, you brought up a point there that is so valid, and nobody's talking about it. Folks, this is the money you earn, not the government earns. You earn. It's your money. Hey, speaking about that, we got Frank on the line. Frank, you got a question? Hi, Frank.
Hi. Yes, I'm not looking forward to my tax cut.
Wow. Why not?
I believe it will cost me more money in the long run.
And how's that, Frank?
I believe that if the tax cuts work as advertised, rents will necessarily skyrocket, and my $15 a month tax cut today will cost me a $100 rent increase a year from now.
Why do you think rents will go up?
People will obviously have more money to spend. Some of that money will be spent on bidding up home prices and rents. Also, employment will increase. Employment increases, increase household formation and reduce rental vacancies?
Well, Frank, I got news for you. If people have more money in their pocket, they'll spend more money. If they spend more money, it gets the economy going. One of the problems that is faulty with your thinking is that if private enterprise and private people have more money to invest, they'll actually invest it and put it into the economy, and the economy will grow. The government does not grow the economy. In fact, it's been proven by the last 8 years, our GDP has went the lowest in history. Lowest in history, Frank. So, you know, what's happening here is the economy's already picked up. If you look at year-to-date, both stock markets are over 20%. That is a boom to the economy. Companies have already talked about giving thousands of dollars of bonuses to their companies with the new tax break. So, you know, I'll tell you what you need to do. Have you ever lived in Europe?
I have never lived in Europe.
You need to save your shekels, go over and live for about 2 years in Europe, and then come back and tell me capitalism sucks. Because everybody I know and every client I have that has came from Europe doesn't want to go back to socialism, doesn't want to go back to outlandish taxes, does not want to go back to outlandish government control. So what I suggest to you is you probably read about it, but you've never lived it. You need to go over there and live for 2 years and then come back and call us, because I'd love to talk to you, because every one of my clients, and I have a lot of clients from Europe, and every one of them, the one thing they tell me, they don't ever want to go back. And they're so glad to be out of socialism. They're concerned that we're going that way, but they don't want to live that way. So anyway, Frank, that's my suggestion to you. Try Europe for 2 years, then give me a call and tell me how socialism works. Because that's really right. What you're talking about. I mean, that's the difference. And so you want to give a call. I've got another caller on the line. Frank, thank very much for your call. We got Carl. You're on the line. Hey, Carl, are you there?
I am indeed. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Did we catch you in your morning cup of coffee there?
Well, yeah, I'm here with my jammies, and you know, Jake's sitting on the side here, and he listens to the show every week. You know.
Well, let us know if Jake has to have a quick break.
No, Jake's fine. He'll make it through the whole show.
Okay. Well, listen, I understand that you decided that you didn't want to talk a lot of taxes today, but there's big news on the estate tax front, is there not?
Well, there certainly is. I mean, as a practical matter, it basically takes it off the table for concern, except for the extremely wealthy. You know, it's a husband and wife could theoretically pass $22 million tax-free now. Well, in a couple of weeks.
Well, the biggest thing I'm really happy for is, as you and I know, and we've had some situations with people that actually we have clients in this situation who are land rich and cash poor.
Absolutely.
They have a horrendous amount of land. It's valued at an outrageous amount, although finding somebody to buy it for that amount is kind of hard to do. And those families just get ripped apart when the leaders of the family die, and they got to pass it down, you know?
Yeah, and the big, that's also true of people who have built up a family business that has, you know, significant worth, and they get to the end of the day, and they're going to try to pass on this valuable business that's an ongoing business, and they've got to come up with a whole lot of cash to pay the taxes. And so, yeah, I mean, now that's a pretty substantial amount, though. The $22 million or the $11 million per person is a lot.
Well, you know, I don't think anybody can say this bill favored the rich, because it actually passed it on to the super rich to continue paying the estate taxes.
Well, yeah, and although, you know, I think that in terms of numbers of people that it's going to affect, the people who are really going to worry about the estate tax ever again are relatively few. You know?
No, absolutely. I'll tell you, I am happy for small business owners. One of the misconceptions that people have about business owners or a corporate owner, if you have a corporation, is that automatically you are filthy rich. I know Kevin and I and you, we all work with business guys. Most of those guys are women, too, who have their own business. They're dumping their entire life into that business. They're working 10, 12-hour days. Any extra money they get, they're putting towards their business and taking care of their employees because they know their employees take care of them. And it's just that they don't have this unabundant amount of cash. They have it tied up into buildings and tied up into employees and factories and stuff. And so it's a big misconception that they just got an abundance amount of money.
Yeah, they may bring in substantial, what sounds like an awful lot of money, but then by the time they've paid all of the expenses that go into running the business, and then they pay their self-employment tax and all that other stuff, which must be Kevin's fault.
That's not funny.
Then you can look at the check at the end of the quarter or the year or whatever it is, and you kind of go, wow, that's a little less than I thought.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly right. And, you know, I think the worst part about my job is a small business owner who has just kicked off their new business. They've got it set up. They've got a full year under their belt. They netted, you know, after taking, as you guys had indicated earlier, all this risk with probably their life savings and wearing multiple hats and dealing with lawyers and accountants, they end up, you know, turning an $80,000 profit, and all of a sudden you're writing a check for 35% of that out to the government. It's devastating, actually. And I don't think people really realize that. And they'll say, well, that's going to 15%, it's going to your, Social Security, Medicare, so on and so forth. Well, you know, if you have any basis in reality, you kind of know that Social Security, Medicare's got some problems ahead. So,
it's still a check you got to write.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and that's a question that our government is. I mean, if we really look at the total liability debt of the federal government, it's really about $210 trillion, not $21 trillion. And at some point in time, somebody in the government is going to have to come to a conclusion that, hey, we got to fix Medicare, we got to fix Medicaid, and we got to fix this horrendous amount of debt we have as a country. Because, Carl, you now have grandkids like I do, so, you know, I'm not concerned for my kids, but I'm concerned for my grandkids. I want to leave them a world that they want to be happy to live in.
Absolutely, and it's the debt comes, you know, falls on the next generations, there's no way it's going to be paid off by the time you and I are no longer doing radio.
Well, I don't know. Hey, we're going to take a quick break and come right back with Investing Simplified.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and I'm missing my Pink Panther music. I just don't feel right. Oh, well.
I know.
Okay, well, I probably should get rid of that anyway. So,
yeah.
Well, I thought I'd bring up a few points in the tax code here. Hopefully we get some callers asking about specific items related to their personal taxes, but I thought I'd bring up one here related to your aggressive investors, if you will. And it's a and actually it affects businesses, it affects individuals. It's a pretty significant change, a tightening of the like-kind exchange rules. You know the good old Section 1031 exchanges that
absolutely,
yeah, exactly. Apparently,
they've been pretty loose, though.
They've been pretty loose.
Yep.
Apparently, the definition going forward is only real property qualifies for a 1031 exchange. So trading of vehicles on businesses, I'm assuming that's going to be a deemed sale, so on and so forth. That doesn't seem like a big change because most 1031s were from investment, real property, into another piece of investment, real property. However, what is caught up in this, and maybe the catalyst for this change, is bitcoins. Bitcoins were basically exchanged for other type of cryptocurrencies, Ethereum or what some of those other ones. And so folks were basically going from one cryptocurrency to another. But now this specifically, if you are getting out of your Bitcoin, you have to recognize the gain on that Bitcoin.
You know, Kevin, we've talked about Bitcoin on here numerous times. I know we had some discussions about a year and a half ago with Harry Dent about it. One of the concerns that I have about Bitcoin or any kind of an alternate currency, I guess would be the what you call it, it's not a currency established by a federal government, is that if the government disallows an exchange into that, you're screwed. I mean, if you're an American and you own Bitcoin, and let's say the federal government says, no, it's not a legal currency and you cannot exchange money for it, what would you do?
Well, basically, it's treated as, people are paying salaries in Bitcoin. Some companies are receiving payment in Bitcoin. You have to value it on, I'm assuming, that day. And that's the value of what you received. If in the future you exchange it, if you will, said loosely, if you barter it, if you trade it, use it in commerce, then you're getting value for what it's worth at that day. And of course, Bitcoin is such a wild fluctuation in values. You know, it's just gone way up and then way down. Most people would recognize significant capital gains if they were involved in the Bitcoin cryptocurrency. And the IRS is winning the court cases to discover,
yep,
folks who have bitcoins so that they can, that's an unreported transaction, and most likely the IRS would be able to not have a statute to go back and check for increase in value and stuff.
Well, yesterday I think it dropped about 25%.
I heard that.
Yeah.
I heard that.
Not a happy day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think when you're trying something new like that, and I'm not going to say that cryptocurrency isn't going to be here to stay, but I think it's going to be here to stay until all the powers to be with the governments throughout the country, world, and when they finally say no, then I don't know what they're going to do. If the governments say no, you can't do any cryptocurrency unless it's through our system. I think you're kind of screwed.
Yeah.
You can't tell the government they have to take your money when they won't take the kind of money you're giving them.
Yep. Yep. So. Well, moving on, a few other parts to the Tax Reform Act that I thought would be interesting to chat about is, you had mentioned earlier, Chuck, the medical deduction. Right now, you only get to deduct any medical expenses over 10% of your adjusted gross income. For 2017, that would be the current year. So this is one part of the bill that's retroactive. And 2018, that threshold goes down to 7.5%. So for 2 years, it goes back to that infamous 7.5% threshold. So that's kind of an interesting little nugget thrown in there. There's a lot of misinformation on the home mortgage interest deduction. And one of the, you know, everybody knows that it's, I should say that in such a way, the new threshold is you get to deduct interest on up to $750,000 of home mortgage interest as opposed to $1 million. Current loans are already grandfathered in.
They're grandfathered in, so it doesn't affect.
You don't have to worry about losing. You get the old limitations.
Yeah, and only 1.5% of homes exceed $750,000 in loans. Hey, we've got a caller on the line. April's got a question about taxes. April, are you there?
I am.
Okay, your question?
Okay, I'm trying to sell this tax plan to my kids, telling them how great it's going to be. So I've kind of gone through their scenario. And if I'm doing this right, it's pretty simple and pretty straightforward. So if they were to make, say, $95,000 gross salary, and they put 6% into their 401k, so I times their gross salary times 0.94 to get their adjusted gross income. And then I either look at their Schedule A. If it's more than $24,000, we take that number. If it's less than $24,000, we subtract $24,000 off, which $24,000 off of $89,300 puts them to about $65,300. So that's their taxable income, if I'm understanding this correctly. Then the first $19,000, they're going to be taxed at 10%, and the next $46,000, they'll be taxed at 12%. So I add those two numbers together and come up with about $7,500. Then they have two kids, so they get a credit off of that of $4,000. Is that correct?
April, we have a job opening at Baker & Coulson if you'd like to apply.
April is very good. This is great. It's very good.
That sounds really a very good thumbnail. That sounds very good.
Okay. And I've got one question on the 17 taxes that has been boggling my mind ever since we've been doing taxes, and it's on dividends, ordinary dividends. My husband plays with a brokerage account, and he collects dividends. And so I try to keep track of these. And the amount that shows on the Vanguard account is one number, and what shows up on the statement they give us is another number. And everybody says, well, there's a part of that that's a return of capital. Well, great. How do I figure that? Is there a rule of thumb for figuring that out?
Well, and I say this tongue in cheek, but there's more life to live other than figuring. No, I'm kidding. That's a tough thing. Yes, there is. You know, when they pass out your dividends on your monthly statements, everything's lumped in as a dividend. At the end of the year, most of that stuff, we don't even know how it's going to get broken down between qualified dividends, ordinary dividends, return of capital, and many other ways that they can adjust it. And that's what those big brokerage accounts are doing, is going through. And that's why many of them have extensions to issue the 1099s, is because it takes them so long to figure it. So if it takes them that much time to do that, it's going to be difficult to
just remember
that.
Though on your final 1099 from the brokerage account, they're required by law to break those out and give you the accurate numbers, so they
right.
will break out on the 10. The problem is a lot of times you don't get that till March 31st.
Yeah, and see, my problem is I'm trying to really push. We're retired. My husband's in minimum distributions, and I will be there in about 3 years. And so I'm trying to really push the envelope and get as much out of our 401ks as we can now. So when I have to start taking my minimum distributions, I don't get nailed for extra Social Security tax.
I don't think you'll be subject to, you mean making
Medicare.
I see. And possibly making more of your Social Security benefit taxable. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to push the outline, and I try to figure out now. It looks like it's about 20%.
Well, does he, it sounds to me like it's kind of play money on your husband's part, but it sounds, I mean.
Well, that the dividends have got to be with money that's outside a retirement plan. Because
yes,
there's no dividends in a tax in a retirement plan. There is no dividends.
No, it's in a taxable account.
Okay.
I mean, are we talking thousands of dividends or hundreds of dividends? Because if we're talking hundreds, it's
one year his dividends were like 30-some thousand dollars.
Okay, so this is significant thing. Okay, so I mean. Shoot, I mean, there is a cost benefit to spending all the time on that, but boy, I don't know where you would find the information to determine.
That's okay. I figured you were going to tell me something like that, but I've been trying to figure it out, and it's like I keep looking, and it looks like it's close to 20%, but that's okay. I won't take up any more of your tax time because you got lots of information to give out.
Well, if you come up with an Excel spreadsheet, be sure to send that our way because we'll use it.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call, April. I love talking with folks who love taxes as much as we do.
Well, yeah, she should be working for a tax office. She's very good.
Exactly.
That's really good.
Exactly. Well, let's see. Another provision. Now, this is interesting. The child tax credit for our taxpayers who have children under the age of 18 and make some decent money, you might not have ever benefited from the child tax credit because of thresholds that you've exceeded and you don't get it. The child tax credit used to be $1,000 per child. It's going up to $2,000 per child. And the threshold for a married couple goes from $200,000 to $400,000. So we've had some some scenarios for 2018 where, somebody making over $200,000, which is pretty good income, is actually seeing a little bit of a tax break because of the child tax credit itself. So that's qualifying for it now and actually going up in all other areas, but they get this $4,000 credit because they have two kids. So pretty significant.
Well, with all this stimulating talk about taxes, we're going to take a quick break and come right back with Investing Simplified. You're listening to the Investing Simplified Network. This is where we answer your questions that keep you up at night. So give us a call. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the radio program Investing Simplified. I recently left the Warren Allen Law Firm to open my own office. Professional and personable service have always been the hallmarks of my practice. I believe that this move will allow me to spend more time with my clients. For more than 37 years, it has been my privilege to assist clients with practical estate planning with wills, trusts, powers of attorney, advance directives, and other documents so that they may have peace of mind knowing that their affairs are in order. When probate becomes necessary, emotions of family members may become fragile. Having an experienced attorney that can empathize with what the client is going through makes the process much easier. My new office is conveniently located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, just across from Mall 205, and my phone number is 971-229-0585. That's 971-229-0585.
Get your investing and estate planning questions answered now. You can email Chuck at askchuck@pfgwm.com. That's askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626.
I think that's a wrong number on there on that ad. I think we have to change that because I think the number is 503-417-9595. So disregard that number you just heard. It should be 503-417-9595. And, Mr. Engineer, we got to change that. So I just heard that. Anyway, Kevin, you were going to say?
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to move on to something that affects you and myself and Carl on our taxpayers' returns, and that's the in itemized deductions, the 2% deductions. Apparently, that whole section is going away, which for us, it was our tax prep fee that we would charge our clients. They would get that. Any estate, attorney fees related to obtaining income. But the big one is the financial advisor fees. That's where those typically get deducted. And so that's a significant change going forward. But, of course, the standard deduction is significantly higher. So that helps.
So they're going to take away that deduction for that?
Not that specific deduction, but just that whole section of miscellaneous itemized deductions.
Actually, that's a good thing, I think.
Simplifies it.
Simplifies it. Yeah, you want to keep it simplified.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And speaking about that, I've got a new book coming out called Retirement Made Simple. And we hit number one on Kindle. And I'll be having that out here real quick. And we'll be having some copies of it available. If you want to do a free financial checkup, call my office for a free financial checkup, and we'll I give you a free book to kick the book off. So and it's myself and four other financial planners throughout the country. We went together with the software people that we use for retirement planning and tried to make things simple for the reader to read and get different opinions on. Okay, we got some callers on the line there. We got Rod's got a tax question. Rod, are you there?
Hey, I'm here. Hi, guys.
Thank
you very much for taking my call. You may have asked this, answered this earlier, because I called in, I tuned in late. But I'm wondering about investment management expenses. Are those still going to be deductible?
Financial advisor fees, if that's what you're referring to.
Yes.
No, that those would be typically taken in the 2% miscellaneous itemized deduction section. And it appears that section is completely removed from the itemized deductions.
Wow, that's going to be a huge hit for me.
And it very well could be for our top-end investors, yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the answer.
Absolutely.
Good question, Mike. We've got Don's got a question about taxes.
Hello, Don, are you there?
Don?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you got a question about taxes?
Yeah, I did. So my question is, related to the medical deduction. That's my first question. You mentioned earlier that it's going up or down from the 10% to back to the 7.5.
Yes.
Is that going to be retroactive to this year, like, for the 2017 when we file in April?
Yes, it is.
That's what I'm reading, yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, not only that, it's gonna be rising to 10% in 2019.
Oh, which is, I mean, it goes back to 10%,
yeah,
which
right.
is bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to keep it at 7.5. But...
Yeah, okay, well, that's good. So it's retro to this year for 7.5, right?
Yes.
Okay, super. The second question I have is, kind of a quandary that I'm wondering about. My husband's company pays mileage, which is great, and then they put it into his regular paycheck. They don't give him like a separate check for mileage, and then they tax his mileage out of his income, out of his paycheck. And I talked to our tax guy, and he sent me an IRS form explaining everything, and it said on this one page that employers should not tax mileage. And I'm like, we sent them a note and said, please do not tax mileage. And they're like, yeah, we're going to keep doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what we're supposed to do at this point.
Well, it's a pretty complicated area, but in general, it depends on what sort of reimbursement plan your husband's employer has. If it's an accountable plan where your husband, and you won't know if it's accountable really without knowing the actual paperwork behind the scenes, but if it's an accountable plan, they can reimburse him and it would not be taxable if they reimburse his exact mileage that he drove. And you, again, you won't know if it's accountable or not. If it's a non-accountable plan where they're still reimbursing him for the exact mileage, but it's not set up that way, then it would be taxable. Under the first way, it wouldn't. Under the second way, it would. Most company, and it, you know, there's many reasons that the business could look at either way. And so if they're taxing it, there's probably not a whole lot you can do. If that's the type of plan that they have, and they're probably doing it right, it would be nice if it was an accountable plan, and that type of mileage could be, you know, given to him tax free. Here's unfortunately, when they're taxing it under the current law, you'd be able to deduct that on your itemized deductions as unreimbursed employee business expenses because he's being taxed on it. But unfortunately, that section is going to be going away in 2018 and forward. So there's probably not a whole lot you can do other than, hey, try to get the plan changed to a tax favorable plan.
Okay, so I'm confused because this is for 2016, not 2018, and they're only reimbursing him like, I want to say 23 cents a mile, and the business mileage is like 53 cents, I think, this year. So we were going to try to write off the other 30 cents a mile.
We would have to dig into the type of plan they have and exactly how it's working. I'd want to look at that a little closer to make sure I'm, advising you correct. But, it sounds like you've got your accountant working on it, and that's probably why he sent that notice, was to try to help them change their plans and stuff. You know, employers can reimburse for any mileage amount that they want up to, well, even over the IRS amount. And so it's all treated differently depending on whether it's under, over, whether it's taxed or not taxed.
So we just need to send HR another note and say, hey, we're trying to get our taxes done for this year. We'd like to know if it's an accountable mileage plan or a non-accountable mileage plan so that we can move forward with our taxes.
Well, I think they've indicated it's an unaccountable plan. That's why they are taxing it, and that would be the right treatment, unfortunately.
Yeah, they didn't. They just said, we're taxing it appropriately, and we're not going to talk to you anymore.
No, okay, yeah. Yeah, is it a big company or a small company?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you're fighting an uphill battle there.
Yeah, you're not going to win that one.
Yeah.
Can we try to write off the rest of the mileage and the IRS will honor that?
I would talk to your current accountant who knows all the ins and outs of your situation and plan because it looks like they've researched it. My general thought is you probably have something there, but you'd want to look at the details on that.
All right. Well, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much, and have a very Merry Christmas.
Great. You too. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. We've got Mike's got a question about taxes. Mike?
Yeah, hi. Fellas, I tuned in late, so I don't know if you've answered this. I understand that the first $24,000 you make is not taxed. Is that true?
Well, that would be a married couple's standard deduction, so you could look at it that way.
Oh, okay, so my question is, if I made $25,000, I would only have to pay tax on $1,000? I know that's simplified, but is that...
Yes.
Are you a married couple?
No, I'm not. I'm a single guy.
Oh, so...
Okay, single guy, it's 12.
Yep.
So it's, that's a real key there. It's married or single. Single is 12.
Yeah, you'd have $13,000 of taxable income, roughly.
Okay, so paying my taxes in the past years, I've never deducted $12,000 off the top. If I made, let's say I made $30,000, I'd pay taxes on the $30,000. Was I supposed to deduct $12,000?
Yeah, well, No, the standard deduction for a single person in previous years was roughly, we'll say, $6,000, plus you had a $4,000 exemption. So there was roughly $10,000 of deductions that you had without itemizing, just taking the standard amounts.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So now I can take 12. The standard deduction would be $12,000.
Correct.
And you said there's another deduction after that?
Not going forward. The exemptions are going away. $4,000 per person, roughly, are going away, and supposedly they're included in the standard deductions now, and actually a little more. So 2017, you'll get the exemption. 2018, you'll get the new standard deduction, which is higher, which would include the exemption, and then the exemptions are gone.
Okay, so last question. For 2017, there is or is no benefit for guys like me, for regular taxpayers?
We're still under the same Obama rules, if you will, for 2017, for the most part. A few tiny changes, but not much.
Okay, and the home deduction is still going to be in place? The real estate tax, property tax, and interest, that's still going to be on the 2018? You can still deduct that?
Yes, with a tweak to some of the limitations, yes.
Okay. All right, fellas, thanks very much. Again, I appreciate your show.
Thanks for the call, Mike. You bet. Well, Carl, you still there?
Well, I've got a question for Kevin and you. Well, how about charitable deductions in terms of what have they changed those? And specifically, have they changed them? You know, we've always had that as a planning tool for, you know, when you die and you can make a charitable gift. It was, you know, everything was, you know, that was just a straight off deduction. Is that still the same case or has that changed under this?
I don't see. You're talking for estate purposes,
yeah.
Correct?
Well, yeah. Both. Yeah. Which ways? I mean, the charitable deduction. You know, how does it work? Did they change it to? How does it work on the? You know, because I've heard the people complaining that maybe this henceforth the various charities are going to have difficulty because of the change in the income tax deduction. But then nobody says exactly what that was.
So okay. Okay. Well, the charitable deduction rules are still the same for income and estate purposes. But what you're referring to is where the standard deduction was lower. Say for a married couple, it was $13,000. And that married couple was itemizing. They had home mortgage interest, state taxes, real estate taxes. They also benefited from making charitable contributions. But and say they had $15,000 of deductions and they gave $6,000 of charity. So now they have $21,000 itemized. Well, under the new rules, they get a standard deduction of $24,000. So there is no tax incentive to make that $6,000 charitable contribution. Hopefully it's still within their merry heart at the end of the year to give to charities regardless of tax impact, but that could be a significant factor. So I guess we will see.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break here and we'll be right back.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary. And without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Investments, tax questions, or legal concerns? Get them all answered now for free. Call Chuck, Kevin, or Carl for your answers. Call 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the Knowledge Trust.
Okay, well, we're going to get back to Carl. Did Kevin answer your question fully there on the deduction?
I was just getting ready to, you know, cross-examine and all, you know.
Okay, I figured the cross was coming here.
No, actually, that was just curiosity, because that's one of the areas that comes up with me all the time is you know, a lot of people are concerned about their estate taxes, although, and that's still true with respect to Oregon, I think, but not so much with federal anymore. And this is one of those times where it's probably, you know, better to, you know, you want to, if you got to die, you better die next year, you know, so I mean, rather than right now, which I'm not planning to do. So anyway, I think that there are going to be a lot of questions that will come up and a lot of answers that will be, you know, found out that maybe we don't know about yet, because the bill is very large. And, you know, I'm reminded of a little cartoon that I have in my office that shows this guy sitting in the middle of a law library, and there's obviously law library books and everything behind there, and he's looking at the thing, and the caption is, "Just think, we started with 10 Commandments." So I don't know. It was just that sort of thing, and I know that the tax code. I don't know how many volumes it is now, but I know I used to get those paperback volumes for code and regs for the tax code. And it seemed to me that the IRS code, the actually Internal Revenue Code, was like about 3 big volumes, and the regs were like 9 big volumes. And I'm guessing that that's still about the same. So
yeah, I think so.
Well, you know, Carl, when you were talking about that, it reminded me back at a time 1 year when we had no federal estate tax at all. Remember that year?
Yeah.
And everybody always talks about, you know, timing in investing is very important. Timing is the key. Well, George Steinbrenner died that year. So
that's
George
right.
He had no estate tax.
Second or something, yeah.
Yeah, probably the most timely death of all time. George,
yeah.
You know,
it's probably better to say George was killed that year. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be natural causes.
That's
yeah.
Right. It's
supposed to be natural causes, but talk about perfect timing, because I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars his estate was, or billions, but it was a lot of money.
Yeah, that kind of planning we can't do.
No. We have no part of that. Well, listen, we're fastly running out of time here, but we got one quick caller. Ken, if you've got a quick question, we can give you a quick answer. We can do it.
Thank you. Quick question. 2017 taxes, Multnomah County, can I double up by paying my 2018, 2019 taxes before the end of 2017?
Well, that's a quick question. That's a deep answer. You can prepay a true estimate on your state income taxes. You can prepay a true estimate. They have specifically put a kibosh on somebody front loading deductions at the end of this year for 2018 liabilities. And they went, in fact, I have it printed out here. There's some court cases that specifically confirm that. And so I would think that would, by the letter of the law and the court cases, if you did not have a legal obligation to pay 2018 and 2019 real estate taxes yet, those would probably not be technically deductible. Those would be deposits with the state, and you'd have to wait until the year that you were actually legally on the hook.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good question.
Very good question.
I got one other thing here to add, and Kevin, this is for the tax preparers, because currently, 45 million Americans, about one-third now, itemize. The new tax reform should allow 23 million of those to avoid itemizing because of increased standard deductions.
Yeah.
So that's about half of them that are itemizing right now are going to not have to do that in the future.
Yeah. It looks like 9 out of 10 people who file tax returns will not have to itemize in the future. So that's a significant simplification, if you will.
Okay. Does that still mean it's going to be easy to do on one card?
I sure hope so. Hey, Chuck, for next week, I have a significant planning opportunity for your investors related to, and it's tied into the business section of this bill and pass-through taxation that ties into REIT dividends, real estate investment trust,
okay.
And publicly traded partnerships, investments that have been unique and very specific
okay,
for
now,
investing.
You listeners out there, you do not want to miss this show next Saturday. We will be live. We want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous 2018. And if you listen to our show next week, you will get some prosperous ideas for the new year. So tune in next Saturday. Have a Merry Christmas.
That glorious song.
can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. How often do you have a checkup? Annually? Only when you're not feeling your best? Or are you one who waits until there is an emergency condition? High blood pressure, rapid pulse, or sleepless nights could be the result of your investment portfolio or no estate plan. But there is a specialist ready to offer you a checkup on your financial health.
Paging Dr. Price.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor and author of Investing Simplified, is offering you a free financial checkup. Whether you're asking for a second opinion, a complete financial physical, or investment stress test, Chuck Price, the financial doctor, can help diagnose your money ailments and prescribe a prudent path towards healthy investments and peace of mind. Call 503-253-3000 to schedule your financial checkup or on the web at pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. You'll feel better.